Welcome to Pauly Malignaggi, from Brooklyn to the world.
Proudly representing his hometown of Brooklyn, New York.
Pauly Malignaggi takes you inside the ring and beyond.
I'm definitely far from shy. We're going to be ranting about a lot of stuff. Not just about boxing, I'm opinionated on life in general, many sports topics and politics.
Pauly doesn't hold back.
The two-time world champion, Pauly the Magic Man.
Pauly Malignaggi, Peter Call, it's Brooklyn to the World, and we're back for another week.
Another episode.
Big headlines. What episode are we up to now, man? Are we making progress here? How are we doing? How are we looking over here with the listeners? We've been consistent as we can be. We actually have Peter Call in the studio today. Give him a hand. A hand for Peter Call in the studio today. All right. That's what we do.
It's called dedication.
That's what we do, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So what?
Hard work, very, very Floyd-like hard work and dedication.
Right. Shooting?
Yeah, hard work and dedication.
Yeah,
that's how we do.
You want a number? I'll give you the number.
What do you want? What do you want the number? What do we got? What do we got going?
What number we're on? We're on a lot. 108. This is 108.
108.
Yeah.
108. That's as many wins as the Mets had in '86, right?
That's a true story.
Did they?
Boom.
They did. And they still have a miracle to win the World Series.
They haven't won that many games since. I haven't even won 100 games since. I don't think so.
No. I think they did in '88.
'88.
Oh, all right. I'm talking about
they might
like
have had
now?
99 or 100 wins that year too. I think. Yeah.
So you went to see Bruno Mars yesterday?
Yeah.
Where was it?
Newark Prudential Center.
Oh, okay.
Packed. Prudential Center.
Did you have like an order of cock with that?
No, but we did. My lady and I each had a nice Malibu Babies.
There you go.
Yes, yeah, very tasty.
It's nice.
I'm a fan of the Malibu. Bruno Mars is the man. I don't care what you say.
I'm very talented.
I'm not like you guys. I don't have to like prove my manhood on a daily basis.
No, he's
I'm
very talented. Listen, leave it at that. He's very talented.
I understand what you're trying to say. Yeah. No, I'm not sleeping with Nat King Cole over here. Come on. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Let's talk boxing. Right. We're not talking Goodfellas. We're talking boxing.
We sure are.
Yeah.
And on that note, first of all, you know, Andre Ward retired. I think the day we recorded the last show, right? And so,
we saw it right after.
We have to pay homage to Andre Ward and a great career that he had. A lot of people have mixed emotions and mixed feelings about that, you know, about him retiring. I'm under the opinion of this. If you don't feel like you want to dig down like that anymore, if you don't feel it inside of you that you have that burning desire and hunger in training camp, you know, maybe don't have that burning desire to be in tough fights, or if a tough fight presents itself, you know, you have to ask questions of yourself. Sometimes you get to a point in your life where you don't want to be in those positions anymore, those situations anymore, you know, and a lot of guys still continue to fight it because for their ego or they want the money, you know, so they continue to make the decision to keep fighting even though they're inside themselves, they really have lost that desire to that degree, that degree of desire anyway, you know. So that's why I respect Andre's decision, you know. He realized that maybe in his, and this is just me hypothesizing, but it maybe inside of himself, he doesn't want to have to dig that deep anymore. He doesn't want to have that game face on anymore for months and months of training camp and then fight night. All to maybe not be appreciated anyway, to deal with a lot of critics anyway and whatnot. He accomplished so much in his career, became the best fighter in the sport. I thought he probably deserved a lot more fame and accolades than he's gotten from the media and public and the press. And I think for that reason, he probably doesn't really care to try to satisfy people because people will never be satisfied is probably his thinking, you know. I think he's had an amazing career. I was in the amateurs with Andre Ward, so I know Andre even before he stepped into a professional ring. I had been impressed with him even as an amateur. We won a national title together in 2001.
Wow.
At different weights, obviously, you know. And he went on to go to the Olympics in 2004. You know, I turned pro before that. But, you know, Andre's always been impressive. I don't think he lost a fight since he was 12 years old, if I'm correct, right? I mean, that was which is unbelievable to go through the amateurs for that long a period of time and not get beat. You know, a lot of times people lie about their amateur careers and the fact that they didn't get beat. But if a guy really has an amateur career where he was undefeated, he would have every medal that exists in the amateurs, including the most important one, the Olympic gold medal, you know? So anytime you see guys who have, like, they make like they had 70, 80, 90 fights and never lost an amateur fight, they're all full of shit, unless they have a gold medal. Mm-hmm. Because every time you win an amateur tournament, it leads to a bigger tournament, and it leads to a bigger tournament, and it leads to a bigger tournament. So along those lines, somewhere along the line, you're going to get beat. You know, unless if you don't get beat, you're going to have every single medal that exists in the amateurs, like Lomachenko, who only has one loss, and he has the two gold medals to prove it. You know, Andre Ward went to the gold, went to the Olympics and won the gold medals. You know, these are things that, you know, you actually reach the pinnacle of the amateurs and you continue to win. So then only at that point is it believable. You know what I'm saying? Only at that point is it believable. Even Lomachenko, I think he had one loss, which is unbelievable. And that many fights only have one loss. I know they turned, they reversed a loss that he had at the World Championships years ago in a fight that I thought he lost Lomachenko, but they reversed it. Imagine that happened to this kid. I don't want to go off the subject of Andre Ward. This kid gets a decision against Lomachenko. It gets reviewed. He goes to sleep thinking he's going to fight the next day in the next round of the tournament. The next morning, they've overturned the decision, and that kid's eliminated. Lomachenko's back in. So politics is shady as always, but Lomachenko, obviously a great fighter. I think the kid was a Brazilian kid, if I'm not mistaken. I was already a pro, but I always remember being really appalled. Nothing can appall you really in boxing anymore, as you've seen it all after you've been here, you know, through many years.
Oh, pro athletes, you have to respect guys who retire. They know what they want to do and what they don't want to do. If they don't have it, because initially he was talking about, I'm going to go to cruiserweight, like,
right. Well,
but then he just realized
heavyweight.
Right. Then he realized, you know, I don't want to do this.
It became, the sacrifice is hard.
You know better than anybody. Like the work that has to be put in to do this. And we've just seen you in here and when you're cutting weight and like miserable and crazy.
And not just the work, it's
desire.
You're not being appreciated. It's like, who knows?
But also you're in situations where what if I'm fighting out, you're in a really tough fight. Are you gonna answer the call for that kind of super tough fight like you did when you were young? A lot of times you start to feel it within yourself, like, man, I don't want to be in a tough fight anymore, man. Like, you start to feel it within yourself, and it's like, if this fight goes to a place where I've been to before, I don't know if I want to handle that. You know what I'm saying? You start to slowly, little by little, lose the desire to bite down and suffer for your wins. And when you start to feel that, you really realize that, okay, you know, especially when you were willing to suffer earlier on, we start to feel that you're losing that desire, you probably should, you know, hang it up. You know, a lot of guys don't. A lot of guys are still making money at that point in their career, so they ride it till the wheels fall off. A lot of guys don't want to give up the ego of being the center of attention. So again, they'll ride that till the wheels fall off. Andre could have rode this till the wheels fell off. That's why, sure, I respect his decision so much. You know, it takes a real man's man, and Andre's been a real man's man since I know him, you know. So it takes a real man's man to make this decision and stick with it and walk away when you had so many options, both on the level of fame and on the level of finances, you know. But Andre's been smart with his money. He's a family man, and so he's not too crazy as far as going crazy with money and blowing money and whatnot. And he's been intelligent. He's an intelligent guy inside the ring and outside the ring. So I think, having said all that, well deserved. Congratulations to Andre Ward on his retirement and on an amazing career, and we'll definitely see him in 5 years at the Hall of Fame, you know, without a doubt.
Let me ask you guys a question. I mean, for anybody who's going to talk negatively about his retiring, like he has unfinished business or anything, what career would you rather have, Andre Ward's or Roy Jones' career?
Well, that's the thing. Somebody asked me on Facebook, they said, is it too soon for him to retire? And I said, I don't know.
when he retires, right, that's the right time, right?
No, but if we want to be selfish, you know, we can say, man, because I love watching him fight. I think he's phenomenal inside and outside of the ring. If you want to be selfish, you enjoy watching him. You want to see him continue. But like he said, only he knows how he feels. Only he knows what he's willing to go through. After having gone through what he has, he knows what it takes to win. And at this level, you can't half-ass box.
Yeah, and I'm going to be honest with you. By the time you reach your mid-30s, you're really starting to, you know, slow down. You're starting to slow down. You're starting, you know, I don't give a shit how good defensively you are or whatnot. Age is age, and then we all age, you know. So you know, it comes to the point where, you know, you have to start making those decisions. You know, you have to start looking at yourself and saying, you know, can I handle fighting these guys? Because let's face it, at the highest level of the sport, it's all young guys in their 20s, you know. By the time you reach your mid-30s, do I have the desire to match these guys' desire? Do I have the intensity and skill set to match these guys? You know, do I have still have the same timing and whatnot? You know, your mind may want it, but then you find yourself in a tough position on fight night, and maybe you don't react the same way you would have reacted a few years earlier. You know, you don't bite down. You're not willing to bite down like you wanted to, like you used to. You know, so I think if you're honest with yourself and you come to that realization, maybe you retire a little sooner than maybe some people may have expected, but the reality of it is, you know, it's always a smart decision when you're well off. Andre was never struck me as the kind of guy that did this for anybody else. He always was the kind of guy that, you know, did this for himself, you know, and the way he behaved inside and outside the ring showed you that, you know. he was always marched to the beat of his own drum. And, you know, even if people had different ideas of maybe the way he should have marketed himself, or the fact that he held out during the Goosen contract, you know, during he lost a lot of key years in his prime. I appreciate that. I, as a fighter and as a person in this business, I appreciate that, because, you know, people, promoters are always doing you wrong in this sport, and they know they can outlast you. They know they can smoke you out of the house, because their careers are longer than yours. They know that you're a fighter and your prime lasts a very short window. So if you hold out, you're going to cut your nose off to spite your face more than them, you know. So it's very hard to stand up to a bad contract a lot of times, and a lot of fighters just deal with it, you know what I'm saying? They just deal with it when they wish maybe, you know, they could fight it off, you know. So, again, for those reasons, but yet another reason, you know, I respect Andre Ward. He wanted to do it his way.
And maybe two things. One, maybe like preparing for Kovalev, who's a great fighter in his own right, you know, the mental preparedness and the physical preparedness to overcome that fighter not once but twice, he might have, like, you know, that might have taken away, like, he felt like he accomplished all he had to accomplish. And number two, what did you guys think about his performance on ESPN as a commentator?
I've thought he's a great performance. I thought he's always been a great commentator. You know, I think he's one of the most underrated commentators in the sport. You know, anytime he's done the job, I thought he's been great. I thought he was great for when he worked with ESPN for that Golovkin and Canelo fight. And I thought, was he Golovkin and Canelo, right? That he worked for? No, was it McGregor and Mayweather? Was he working for
ESPN fight? He was just on ESPN recently. It was like a couple days before he retired. He was on ESPN calling the fights. I got to look at which one it was.
But I saw him on SportsCenter, too, talking about Golovkin and Canelo.
But he also called the fights, too.
That was week of, or week before.
But I've always felt he's top level as a commentator. You know, I wasn't sure why HBO stopped using him. You know what I mean?
I agree.
I thought he was the best one they had. You know?
I never understood that one.
Yeah, so I
very articulate, looks great. I mean, yeah. No, Youssef.
And breaks it down the right way.
He's one of the best fighters you've ever seen. So,
But there's a lot of great fighters. You know, HBO has Roy Jones and Bernard Hopkins. Being a great fighter doesn't translate in the commentating all the time necessarily. Not those guys are bad, but you know, you can give me a lot of great fighters that can't commentate for shit.
I can't remember what fight I was watching, but I saw him, and I thought he was great.
Andre's a great commentator. Andre articulates it well. He breaks it down well. He puts you in the shoes of the fighter as best he can be. And he knows the nuances that a lot of people aren't picking up, you know. So he describes it in a way where a lot of people can understand it. I think that's very important as
well. Just like you do.
Yeah. Well, try our best, you know.
Yeah.
But I think Andre definitely deserves hopefully some TV work now that his boxing career is over, because he's got the accolades inside the ring and, of course, the ability to do it outside the ring as well.
You mentioned HBO real quick. What's your guys' take on, I guess it makes sense based on contracts, what's your guys' take on Daniel Jacobs going with HBO?
That was something else, Pete. What'd you think of that, man?
Hey, listen, he's got a lot of options, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm a guy, I'm a Showtime guy, so I would have loved to have him stay with us, you know, especially that he's now starting to blossom into the fighter that we all thought he was going to become. I felt like Showtime brought him up to the point in his career where now he could blossom, you know, but at the same time, it's a business, and you got to go for the most money you can as a fighter, because your window is very small. Would I've loved for him to stay? Absolutely. But also, it's probably now, looking back with hindsight being 2020, maybe we should have put him on the contract if we wanted him that badly, right? HBO gave him that contract, you know?
And it makes sense for him because they have Golovkin and they have Canelo, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So. Yeah, and those guys are going to pay both more money than Charlo, who we have, who's very, very good, but maybe isn't bringing the kind of money that those guys are bringing, you know?
Just real quick, it was the Ndongo versus Crawford.
Yes.
This is where Andre
Ward commented. Yes, that's right. He did a
great job, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, Danny's got to do what he's got to do. It's what's best for his family. What's going to give him the most options. Getting on TV and promoters with dates and... Listen, you want to spread yourself as thin as you could. Because he would love to get Triple G again.
Sure.
When the fight happened originally, he said, how'd that happen? He's with Al, and this one's with this one. He's a Showtime guy. He's not HBO. And it went back and forth. Listen, the fight happened. Now he's got other options, which one of them is a rematch. Or, like you said, Canelo. So, Danny's my boy, man. I'm happy he made the right move, it seemed like. And he's going to get paid well, and I think he's going to be busy.
Good. Well, it's the right move for him. You know,
right.
Ultimately, you know, we'll find out how HBO treats him and whatnot. But like I said, if you want somebody to stay with your network, and you value that person, and they're starting to become a hot commodity, you probably want to get them on paper. You know, HBO went and approached it in a business sense and picked them up on paper. And Danny didn't just sign with HBO. Danny signed with Eddie Hearn. Eddie Hearn, what do we talk about that? Matchroom Promotions, starting up a New York office here in the U.S., started to come over to the American shores and bring over boxing to the U.S. Eddie Hearn is no dummy, and I've always felt Eddie Hearn is one of the best promoters, if not the best promoter in the world. And he's continuing to show that value. I know a lot of times the fans in the UK, for some reason, boo him.
I don't get it.
I don't get that either. He brings the best fights. He brings the best shows, most well-promoted shows. And he continues to sign top talent year after year. Now he's kind of he's remains ambitious, which is what I love, because too many promoters, especially American promoters, are content with mediocrity. You know, they just give me the date. I won't promote for shit. I'll just book a date. They're basically booking agents and not promoters. And I'll just take the date, and I'll just, you know, put the fighters on, and I'll take my cut and let them battle it out, and that's it. It's not going to do anything. Eddie specializes in creating stars, which I love. And I hope he can bring that brand and the American fight fans take to it, just like the British fight fans have taken to it in England. I think it's amazing. Obviously, he's made a big splash coming to the U.S. and signing Danny Jacobs. He's going to start having shows here in the U.S., so it's going to become a threat. It's going to become a threat to those mid-level promoters, you know. Eventually, maybe he wants to be a threat to the highest-level promoters as well, but definitely the mid-level promoters. Like, you know, he's if he's starting offices on the East Coast, you know, he becomes easily right now the biggest promoter on the East Coast right off the bat, especially with the coming in and signing Danny Jacobs. There's nobody on the East Coast that's bigger than Eddie Hearn right off the bat. Matchroom in the USA, or whatever they're going to call themselves here in the U.S., you know, automatically coming in with a big splash. So we'll see if the results, if the product is as good as it's been in the U.K., and it continues to sell. We'll see. But if I know Eddie Hearn, like I think I know him, you know, he's a very ambitious guy. This is a guy that was born into the business, and he could have easily said, you know what, you know, this business is already set up. I can, you know, I can just half-ass this and make money. But no, Eddie wants to build his own legacy, and that's what I love about it. You know, and in building his own legacy, he's allowing fighters that he signs to build their legacy. Because a lot of times, you know, fighters, talented as they are, they want to build a legacy. And if they sign with the wrong guy, your chance of building a legacy is ruined. And that's going to lead me into my next point of view. It's going to lead me into Demetrius Andrade. Demetrius Andrade, if you watch this kid when he's a teenager, is a surefire Hall of Famer. Surefire Hall of Famer. Yet, he signs with a half-ass promoter, to say the least, turning pro. Bro, this guy's barely going to be a blip on the radar, let alone be a Hall of Famer. You know what I mean?
That's terrible.
Now, he's got a new HBO contract, or a new HBO, I heard, but he's fighting Alantes Fox, who's a guy that nobody wants to fight. Now, Alantes Fox is 6'5", 160 pounds.
Jesus.
Okay?
Tommy Hearns?
He is. Tommy Hearns ain't nothing, man. 6'5". Right. It's unbelievable. Alantes Fox is talented, but nobody knows Alantes Fox. He's not the kind of guy that a big name would want to fight, because he represents all danger but no notoriety. But who's got to fight him? The guy who can't get the dates because of his promoters, Demetrius Andrade. You know what I'm saying? So now you got Demetrius Andrade, who, again, you're only as good as building a legacy as the team you are assigned to. It doesn't matter how talented you are. If you don't have a team that's capable of getting you there, you will not be able to build that kind of legacy.
It takes a village, right?
Yeah. So, you know, so Demetrius had to do it the hard way. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of times, you know, don't get me wrong, it's got to be a team effort. A lot of times the team will do the right thing, but the fighter won't be able to put the results together, you know? A lot of times, you know, you get fighters that they don't always have to have the toughest fights to stay on TV, to become relevant and to market themselves, you know? I myself, a lot more than one person had told me, I fought the toughest schedule of my generation. They said the guys I fought, and at the times I fought them, at the times of their careers I fought them, with their records and everything, best combined record, I had the toughest schedule of my generation. My generation, bro. I didn't even know that until a handful of people started telling me. I did the research. That the fact that I how I survived, you know, it's unbelievable. You know what I'm saying? Like, so again, you turn pro with all these dreams about, you know, making a legacy for yourself and doing all these things, but sometimes you don't have a choice, bro. Sometimes you gotta take all the tough fights all at once. Sometimes you don't. You got a promoter that can't get dates, like in the Andrade case, you know. Sometimes a lot of things get in the way. Sometimes maybe you have a bad night at the wrong night, and that hurts you too, you know. Sometimes it's on you. You know, it's a lot of things, but when you're doing the hard work and you're training your ass off and you're the one dreaming, man, you want to be with a team that does their job outside the ring, because you're trying so hard to do your job inside the ring. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what comes of Matchroom Promotions here in the U.S. with New York, and we'll see what happens with Demetrius Andrade with Alantes Fox.
I think with Eddie Hearn, I think he's selling himself short if he going to compare the success he has already. You know what I mean? That it's, those fans are different, bro. Those fans are loyal. You're not going to come here and just sell out like that.
No.
So if he's going at it that way, he's setting himself up for failure. But
I think you promote shows. You start with local talent. Let's be honest here. Okay, Danny Jacobs is a big name in boxing. Danny Jacobs does not sell tickets. Okay,
of course.
So let's start with Eddie Hearn. Start with Eddie Hearn, and seeing if he makes Danny Jacobs into a ticket seller on the East Coast. Okay, so that'll be the first test to see if and that'll take some time. We'll see. Maybe a handful of fights. We'll see how big he's able to market. How much he's able to market Danny Jacobs. Danny's got a great storyline and whatnot. But thus far, his notoriety in boxing has not matched his ticket selling ability, and that's why guys like Canelo are a different level, because the guys like that don't come around very often. I think Danny can be the big star that a lot of guys end up becoming, that some guys end up becoming, but you need the marketing team behind.
Let me ask you a question. You know, because Danny's obviously had a great fight with Triple G, it could have went either way. Now Jermall Charlo is the mandatory. What does the mandatory mean? Like, he has to get a title shot within a certain amount of time?
It's supposed to be.
Or they have to forfeit a title?
Yeah, that's how it used to work. I mean, it used to be that.
Well, now the guy has, what does he have, three mandatories? So yeah. Somebody's got to wait, right?
Yeah, right. Not only that. I mean, back in the day, if you didn't fight your mandatory within a certain amount of time,
you got stripped.
You know, now it depends. You know, if the champion is like a big name where the sanctioning body values that guy being a champion because he brings in more money, we're not going to force him to fight a mandatory. When's the last time Floyd Mayweather fought a mandatory? You know what I mean? I don't even know when the last time Floyd Mayweather fought a mandatory in his career. You know, so if the champion is a guy, and then again, it's the politics supersedes the rules. You know, if the champion is a guy that's bringing in so much money, then maybe you don't want to force him to do something where he'll vacate your title, because then if you vacate your title, you lose out on the sanctioning fees, you lose out on money that you would have made. You know, so. So I don't know. You know, I think Jermall Charlo is a terrific fighter. I think he deserves to get any of these top fighters, you know, but it's not as easy to get done as you might think. And it's gotten more and more complicated in boxing, you know, because I think even when I was younger, mandatories were, you know, the order of fighting mandatories was pretty solid, you know. And now, you know, you got guys that never get title shots. It's crazy, you know. So it's pretty difficult.
I'm going to bring up a sore subject for you guys right now. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL, and the Giants, I know, are not really easy to watch, mm-hmm. especially when your star receiver is urinating on the field,
mm-hmm.
or pretending to anyway. But CBS All Access is doing something really cool right now. They make it easier than ever to enjoy your local NFL team, which is our Giants, right? Now you can stream your local...
Yeah, the Jets, everyone.
The Jets, too. But you guys are Giant fans, correct or not? Correct?
Yes, Giants.
Yes, so that's why I'm saying Giants, because you guys are Giants.
You're
fans.
Right, Derek Carr. You keep going.
I'm a Raider fan, yes.
Exactly.
But it's not my local team, though. So Giants, Jets, local team. CBS All Access has now made it easier than ever to enjoy your local NFL team. Now you can stream your live local games each week on CBS All Access. Start your free trial now at cbs.com/NFL. This is for your local CBS games only. NFL on CBS or CBS Thursday Night Football. With CBS All Access, you can enjoy games on your desktop, streaming devices, and tablets, not mobile. And any local Sunday or Thursday night CBS game can be enjoyed the way you want to watch it. After your free trial, CBS All Access is only $5.99 a month, and they have a ton of programming. If you guys like Star Trek, they have a new Star Trek show, Star Trek Discovery. They have tons of shows, classics, movies. You can also stream your live local CBS broadcast for news, special events, other sports, and more. Go start your free trial now at cbs.com/NFL. So, Pete, if you got to go to the bathroom, you take your iPad and you sit in the toilet and watch the Giants.
Yeah, because I'm on the toilet a lot, so it's very convenient.
Yeah, I thought that'd be cool for you guys.
They get the games all on the iPad.
Correct.
And then when the Giants go 0-4, I could just drop the iPad into the bowl after I'm done.
Just like flush it away just like this season.
But now you guys are going to beat the Jets to that draft pick, huh? Huh? How about that?
Hey, what's up, man? It's Paulie Malignaggi. We're here with Peter Card,
hey,
Seth Nyman, two-time New York Golden Glove champion. Kara Kashanova is on with us as well. What's going on, Anna?
Nothing. Great to hear from you guys. So I got the whole the whole pack of you, right? So that's Peter and you, Paulie. That's awesome. Well,
of course, of course. So there's for all our guest listeners at home, this is two-time world champion Anna Hulatin. So talk to us, Anna. You know, a lot of things on your plate lately. You know, obviously, you know, we know your boxing career, a couple world titles and whatnot. But you now just signed a contract with Bellator MMA. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
so really tell us a little bit about that, about how that
congratulations.
Came about. How that Woo! Came about.
Oh, that's, thank
yeah,
you.
Big shout out to Bellator. Big shout out to Anna, of course.
Now you can kick somebody.
Yeah. Now, tell us a little bit about that background. You know, how did you wind up with even having some interest in mixed martial arts? What kind of background do you have as far as mixed martial arts is concerned? Where did the thinking process come about in pursuing a mixed martial arts career?
Well, first and foremost, so those who know me as a boxer, my origins from like getting into combat sports was from martial arts. I started out in martial arts. That's how I met my current coach, Angela Reyes. Who also has helped me with my boxing career and took me to a world title and so forth. But I hold a black belt in Taekwondo, so I can kick. I also hold a black belt in Kenpo Karate, so I understood the traditional aspects of it. And, martial arts played a huge, huge role in me winning my first world title in terms of, like, having the discipline aspect of it. Just being able to stick with the grueling culture of boxing, whether it's hitting the bags or dealing with the people in it, sparring, et cetera, and just keeping a level head and just, you know, sticking it out when times are tough. So with the rise of female MMA, obviously I thought it was a great opportunity. Combat sports is just changing completely. You're having MMA fighters now trying to get their licenses for boxing, and boxers nowadays are trying to get into MMA and so forth. So, it was something that I've done. I actually tried out for it back in 2014. So I've been circling back and forth with boxing and getting to the grappling arts with wrestling and jiu-jitsu and stepping away from that a little bit and going back to the root of it all. I'm going back into my martial arts, so I'm just trying to combine it all together. You know, with Bellator, being able to have fighters like myself who can do boxing or who competes in boxing and wants to pursue MMA, you know, it's been a game changer to be able to fight on both platforms. I remember back in the day when I trained with Freddie Roach, he would say activities are good for fighters, and I feel like that highlights that, and it puts my name out on the map. So it's nice. It's nice to actually be having more opportunities to fight back home here in the United States. Bellator just had their event down in San Jose. I really wanted to be in that card, but because of the way, you know, time-wise, you know, it just didn't work out. But that they ended up having their event at, you know, at the same place where I won my first world title in boxing. And so, you know, I'm really excited about how Bellator is a Bay Area company, which is from my hometown.
Yeah, Scott Coker has been done a lot of great things in mixed martial arts, and he's actually the guy running things over at Bellator, so he's progressing things nicely. I think a couple of questions really pop up with you now, Anna. One is, will you be continuing your boxing career? That's for starters. How are you going to take the approach to your boxing career? Is it more of what you said before about activity being important, so you'll be doing both, or will you have the opportunity to do both?
Yeah, no, it's all of that. Having the opportunity to do both and, you know, cross-training in between two, you know, the different disciplines. You know, I had to take a note off of what you said, Polly, back when you were here in Las Vegas with the whole Mayweather-McGregor fiasco. And you said something that really stuck to me, and you were like, you know, fighters need to know exactly who they are and who they're not. And I was like, yeah, that's the best way to sum up anyone who wants to become a boxer, nevertheless an MMA fighter. So with that said, now I feel like just having more opportunities like this, it just keeps things fresh. Instead of going through the daily grind of boxing, you know, I can highlight it with adding kicks, elbows, knees, takedowns, you know, catching kicks, taking people down, and doing ground and pound or submissions and things like that. So if anything, I think it's become more of a playground for me.
It spices things up a little bit, as opposed to, you know, sometimes the daily grind becomes a little bit repetitious, but this will spice things up a little bit.
It's like more condiments in the sauce.
Exactly. spice things up.
Way to go, Pete.
Hit it on the button.
Fat people always hit that stuff on the button.
So do you have a, of course, especially you, Pete.
Thank you.
So, speaking of sauce, what are we looking at a date for your pro debut, for your MMA, I mean, for your Bellator debut? We know you've had a couple of MMA fights, right?
Yes, Yeah.
So when is your Bellator debut supposed to be scheduled? Do you have anything scheduled on put on the schedule yet?
You know, hopefully soon we can announce something really soon. I've been at the gym, you know, consistently. I train all year round, and I've been. Now, a big shout out to Rich Chu. It's his birthday today, and actually, he's a VP of relations for Bellator, and he's been so instrumental in not only with me signing, but also just being patient with me because I'm always harassing him about getting the fight lined up. Because you know, I'm anxious to get into the cage. You know, I really want to get in there and you know, perform and showcase all the stuff that I've been working on so far. But you know, hopefully we can talk about something soon.
Yeah, man, we're looking forward to seeing you in there as well, Anna. We're looking forward to you know, you getting things started in mixed martial arts. Is there, you know, we also know that another female fighter was signed over to Bellator, and that's New York's Heather Hardy. Has there been sort of a brewing rivalry with you and Heather Hardy going on? Is that a fight we may be able to see in the Bellator cage or even in the boxing ring? The one thing that's interesting about this little talk in the media between you and Heather, the talks that have been going on with them within the media discussing you and Heather, is, you know, this. A lot of times, one of these kind of fights can either happen in a cage or can happen in a ring. With you and Heather, it could actually happen in both. Has there been any discussions, or right now it's just more so media and fanfare and hype?
You know, it's something that's been discussed. I mean, behind the scenes, my boxing promoter, Alan Tremblay, has called up Lou DiBella on a couple of occasions in terms of me matching up with Heather, whether it's in the cage or in the ring, and so... Now, obviously, nothing has materialized on that end, and you know how it works. There's so many moving parts to make a fight happen. So, you know, I'm game. I think it's something that the fans would appreciate. I think it's something new. It's something exciting. It's something where people can not only appreciate where, you know, it's not like McGregor jumping into the ring with Floyd. It's like, yeah, someone who actually has experience in the boxing ring can get down and get into the ring and also... has a little bit of some MMA experience getting to the cage, where it's not going to be like a whole big old fiasco. You know, we have some experience under our belt, so I think, you know, if it comes down the line, I'd love it. But if not, you know, what I love about Bellator is that they're finally having a title fight for the 125 division. I'm keeping my eyes real close to that.
Okay, very nice, very nice. And something obviously for you to keep in mind as far as possibly being able to compete for that title as well over in Bellator. We hope that you let us know when your Bellator debut is coming up. We'll be able to check you out, and you know, hopefully national TV coverage and all that. We'll be able to catch you even out here on the East Coast, you know?
Oh, I'd love to. I want to know if you guys are going to be free. I'm actually heading out there October 28th.
Let us know. I'm actually in Wales that day. I have to work the Anthony Joshua fight October 28th. Ooh. But let us know. Let us know if you get a fight out on the East Coast or whatnot, and obviously the team will come support. Good luck, Anna, and say hello to Angelo for us. Angelo Reyes, the coach for Anna Hulatin. He's also the striking coach for Frank Mir. Big shout out to Angelo Reyes. He's Reyes Striking on Twitter. So Anna, thanks for being on the show. We'll talk to you soon.
Good luck, champ.
All right. Bye, Jeff. Bye, Peter.
Bye-bye. Bye, champ. Bye-bye. All right.
Hey, you know, it's interesting, you know, with Mayweather, McGregor, and even when I was a young kid, I'm a little older than you guys, that Muhammad Ali got involved in wrestling a little bit. He wrestled the Japanese, fought against the Japanese wrestler Antonio Inoki, and neither one wanted to hurt each other, so right. It was horrible. But even before that, Ali got in the ring against Gorilla Monsoon, and Gorilla Monsoon spun him around and dumped him.
Get out of here. I didn't know that. Gorilla Monsoon spun around Muhammad Ali? Did you know this?
Ali walked around. Oh, we got to take a quick break. I don't know. Pete's got to pee again or something. I don't know.
Your back teeth are flowing?
We'll be right back. We'll pick up this conversation.
All right. I want to know about Gorilla Monsoon and Muhammad Ali. I want to get on this. All right.
See you. All right, so Pete, we were gone for a while.
So you have a YouTube?
Yeah, I'll show you that. But Pete had to drop a deuce or something. I don't know what he did. Boom. It's a mess. I remember this as a kid.
My plumbing's not right.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, if you want to change your diet or something, get off the high sodium, whatever you're doing, high alcohol.
Boom. Was calories. Gorilla Monsoon on high sodium?
Probably.
Yeah.
He was a big guy.
He looked like it, right?
Well, he actually worked. He was Vince's right-hand man for a long time, too. Worked behind the scenes, but that's a whole different story.
But, yo, he wrestled Muhammad Ali. Why am I learning this? This is why this is great, Seth. This is why you're like our wrestling historian.
Yes.
Arrested. I knew Ali wrestled Inoki, but nobody ever talks about Ali wrestling Gorilla Monsoon. Well, this is great.
Do you remember
this is better than Inoki. Who cares about Inoki in America? Yes, we don't even know he's Gorilla Monsoon. Are you kidding me?
But do you remember who was in Ali's corner when he fought Inoki? Freddie Blassie. famous
Crassy
man.
Crassy Freddy. Yes.
Wow. Wasn't he an influence on Muhammad Ali?
Yeah, Crassy. No, that was Gorgeous was George.
Gorgeous George.
But Crassy Freddy Blassie was one of those wrestling managers, like a heel wrestling manager, right? With Bobby the Brain Heenan and all of those guys. Rest in peace, he just died too.
Yes, he did. Before Heenan.
Crassy Freddy. But he was around even when Heenan came around. Blassie was still there. Early WrestleManias, Crassy Freddy Blassie was there.
And the guy with the long hair.
Before that, he was famous being a wrestler in Japan, Freddy Blassie.
Was he?
They call him a vampire because he used to file his teeth in the sharp points like a vampire. Yeah, guys make him bleed and all that. But anyway,
he probably wrestled in Oki too.
Oh, he wrestled everybody. He wrestled Bruno Sammartino, Jersey City, and Frank. He had 50,000 Italians want to kill him.
Oh, that's great.
His book was one of the best.
Everybody thought wrestling was real at that time. Yeah. That's great.
50,000 Italians wanted to kill him. He was stabbed. He had acid thrown on him. All kinds of crazy stuff.
But, so, what was the outcome of the Muhammad Ali?
That's what I'm getting back to it. I'm circling back. So. To help promote the Ali and Oki thing, Ali came down to ringside, starts yelling at Monsoon and stuff, pointing at him.
Get out of here.
Ali talking trash.
Yeah.
He comes in, he starts like trying to throw jabs. You can see this on YouTube. So he throws, and you know he's not trying to get
it's on YouTube? Yeah, oh, I gotta see this. You kidding me? Why
so
did anybody
Monsoon
else?
Monsoon grabs a jab, puts him up over his shoulder, spins him around, and just dumps him
down.
You saw it? Yeah.
You've seen that.
Yeah,
Ali had a suit on. No,
I don't know if he had a suit.
He had
on.
A
Maybe.
Gray suit on.
He might be right. But
that's great because then years later Tyson does the WrestleMania thing.
It was great.
Too. You know, Tyson was awesome. Yeah.
Tyson was talking about it recently on his podcast too.
Yeah,
and Floyd did it too. It was great.
Well, you should do it. You would be the best.
I got less of a chance than Conor McGregor. They'll take Conor McGregor before they'll take me.
Well, Conor, because you know we our friend Conor likes we can't go a show without talking about him. Likes to make friends. He basically bashed the whole WWE.
Oh, he did.
He said he can kill all of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, come on over.
Yeah,
because people don't realize how tough these guys are. Like, you know, that's a whole other story.
He saw CM Punk come up short, and he made like, you know,
right. Like that represents the whole locker room. CM Punk's 170 pounds, like me. Come on.
And he's old. Yeah.
Right, he's 38 or something.
He's not a fighter anyway. Why don't you do something with Kurt Angle or Brock Lesnar?
Exactly.
then talk to me.
Exactly. Anyway, talking to Anna, is Anna or Anna?
Oh, Anna.
Anna. So,
or Anna. It's Anna.
In the Mayweather-McGregor fight, it's interesting because it's a real interesting thing when you guys from different sports competing.
Of course.
You know Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, he fights too. Yeah.
He fights MMA and wrestles. Yep. Brock Lesnar might come back and fight.
Bobby Lashley, we sponsor Wild Future Legend.
So, I mean, even with wrestling, but to a lesser degree, but even MMA and boxing, that's going to be an interesting thing going forward because Jose Aldo, I think, has got a boxing license.
Jose Aldo.
It's Jose's cousin, his Brazilian cousin.
Cyborg
got a boxing license.
It's cool.
Yeah. It is cool. And it might get played out. It might happen too
Chris
much.
Cyborg
to
is
out,
actively looking for a promoter. You know, she can fight. She can fight a little bit.
What weight is she?
She would be 47.
She's too small for like Clarissa Shields or.
They have a sparring video of her and Clarissa.
Really?
Yeah. No, that's what I heard. I remember that.
It was online. It's on YouTube.
So I just think it's interesting for combat sports in general to have those events. I mean, this one was like. Humongous, but
yeah, of course,
there's opportunity for that. Like, look at John Jones called out Brock Lesnar. The only place that fight can take place now, is in WWE, or if they have to promote it themselves because UFC, they're both. At least John Jones is done now with steroids.
Yeah, he's got a multi-year suspension now, right? With John Jones,
but if I was WWE, I'd bring him in a heartbeat. You know, because that's big money. That's pay-per-view big money, him and Brock Lesnar, even if it's fixed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you play it up. Yeah. You play it up, though.
Why not?
Play it up. Yeah, absolutely.
Brock is still making lots of money in there. People still have to watch
him. You condone the coke habits and the steroids and just make the money. That's right.
It's not. It's
come on, Mr. Liberal, politically correct all of a sudden. Yeah. All of a sudden, Pete's politically correct. Get out of here.
Who are you, some kind of liberal? What's wrong with you?
Get out of here. Let the guys wrestle.
It's entertainment.
I'll watch it. John Jones versus Brock Lesnar.
Right.
WrestleMania. What are we up to? WrestleMania 35, right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to guys like Cormier. That's why.
We're talking about two different things.
You're right.
What is he going to do? He's going to make more money in WWE because he couldn't stay in his own sport.
You know what? But you can have a storyline for Cormier, too.
Right, sure you can. And he's a diehard wrestling fan,
by the way. I lost to you two times. You cheated. Now we're going to settle it in WrestleMania.
Right.
And then Brock Lesnar comes in and hits John Jones in with a chair while John Jones is about to pin Cormier or something.
That's a good point. And then they get up.
And then Cormier gets up and he high fives Brock Lesnar after the pin and all that stuff.
But your friend Dana White will never let it happen.
Right.
My friend Dana White.
My buddy, old pal, Q-Ball.
If we fight Dana White, the smack I'm going to give that guy if I ever see him in person.
He's like, Daniel, I got a deal for you for WWE. You're going to make $1 million. I'm going to make $55 million. What do you think?
No, yeah. you have no choice if you're in right. MMA. That's the problem. That's yes. why they have to regulate that sport.
Yes.
Dana can tell you he's going to make $100 million. You're going to make $5 million, and you're either going to take it or you're going to work at Foot Locker. You don't have a choice.
Well, hopefully Bellator
will regulate that shit already.
Hopefully Bellator
will get that shit regulated.
Keep building, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, we didn't talk about Linares' fight. Did you guys see it?
Linares and Campbell. Yes. Hey, listen, I was going into that fight thinking that Campbell was going to give a better effort than people expected. Like, I did. Yeah, I tweeted it. I tweeted it out.
You did.
I thought he was in too soon and overmatched. And then when I watched the fight, I was like,
I tweeted it out maybe a week before. I got into it with a couple of fans. You know, some fans were liking it. Some fans were like, nah. Even some British fans didn't really believe in Luke. Listen, styles make fights. Jorge Linares, for me, is super talented. But for a guy with his talent, he gets hit too much, bro. It's so weird. It's so random. Like, this guy has all the talent in the world. He's randomly been knocked out by Salgado or David Salgado. David Salgado was his first name. It's Salgado. Then he got randomly knocked out by Antonio DeMarco. Like, for as good as he is, he randomly gets knocked out. Like, right. He randomly gets beat and all that. Because
Salgado's the one when he crushed him at like 130 the first pounds. Round.
Yeah,
right?
He got knocked out by Sergio Thompson, who's actually a big puncher. I don't even know why. They brought him back from the Salgado knockout against Sergio Thompson.
Right,
I don't know what genius made that matchup. They tried to bring him back with Sergio Thompson and got him knocked out. So credit to Linares because he's got incredible resiliency. He comes back from these knockouts and he looks terrific and he's done great. And he continues to do great. But having said that, his style is still the prototypical style where he's super talented, but he gets hit more than he's supposed to.
Yeah.
For that guy, for that talented he's got, he's not supposed to get hit like that.
As fluid as he is. Yeah.
You know? So I thought, listen, Campbell's long and lanky. He's an Olympic gold medalist. You know, he's got that frame and he's got that style. He's got a pretty active style. I thought, you know what, Linares might not have his hands full, but, you know, he's going to get tested this fight, you know. And I wouldn't have been shocked if Luke would have won the fight. I wouldn't have been shocked. People thought I was out of my mind.
Well, one judge agreed with you. One judge thought he did win the fight.
Yeah.
No, he didn't win the fight, but he fought really. He gave a great account of himself. Mm-hmm. And then to find out what I found out after the fact.
I wish he would find out after.
He got dropped, right? He got dropped. You seen that. And then he got up and just made a really good fight out of it. He came up short. It happens. The kid's dad passed away.
2 weeks before the fight.
2 weeks prior.
And he didn't say anything.
And he didn't say a word to anyone because he said he didn't want it to look as like a weakness.
Yeah, and he didn't want Linares' team to know so that didn't make, you know, he didn't want to pull out of the fight, and he didn't want Linares' team to know so that they would assume that, oh, he's going to be mentally weak. So he just had to deal with that for 2 weeks with his father's passing.
He's a young guy, so his father's probably a young guy.
His father was 58, bro. Father's cancer. You know what I mean? So
terrible.
So, you know, terrible. So condolences to
Luke Campbell family.
But, you made me think about Buster Douglas for a second.
Yeah,
right.
Shades of Buster Douglas. Yeah. Douglas knocked out Tyson. Well, Luke gave a great account of himself in a great fight, and we hope to see him again in a big lightweight title fight. You know, big lightweight fight. You know, the lightweight division is getting pretty exciting, bro. You know, for a little bit, it was kind of lulling to sleep. Look at what we got right now. We got Linares. We got Campbell. We got Robert Easter.
We got Mikey Garcia.
We got Richard Comey. We got who else? I'm missing. This weight class is getting talented enough and deep enough to where I'm not even naming all the guys.
Yeah, no, it's,
you know, there's Denis Shafikov's pretty rough still. You know, you got some guys, bro. You know, you got Flanagan, who's a WBO champion, obviously. You got Crawler still lurking around. You know, you got some good fighters, man. You got some good fighters. You know what I'm wondering about in that weight class, too? The guy Krolov knocked out for the title, Barosh. The guy that knocked out Kevin Mitchell. You know, that guy was a sleeper killer, too. You know, but I don't know. I don't know if he had the promotional connections to get back in. When you punch as hard as that guy and you're dangerous to that guy, but you don't have a big promoter, maybe you guys are easily going to start to avoid you, you know?
And Linares wants to fight Mikey, which is like an HBO Showtime thing. I know Mikey's the A-side in that fight, right? I would think.
I don't know. Linares is a unified champion. I don't know how that's going to work with the A and B side, right? I don't know.
Mikey's more of the bigger draw, right?
I don't know.
So Mikey doesn't sell more tickets than Linares?
I would say he does.
Yeah. It's close, though.
It is close.
Yeah, it's close.
What about how Mikey went from calling out Cotto, and now they said Cotto may fight Lemieux? Are they trying to get this guy killed before he retires?
I'm seeing Daniel Jacobs Lemieux here.
I saw that, too. Yeah. But then I saw Cotto Lemieux.
I think Golden Boy's going to try to push for Cotto Lemieux because it's an in-house fight with Golden Boy.
He's gonna get hurt, dude.
But he's so much better than Lemieux.
I know, bro. So but this guy's big. I know. Strong. Of course.
No, Lemieux. No, Lemieux can hurt him bad. But the Cotto's so.
He has one punch end your life power. It's not. Yeah. You know. Cotto, oh man, that hurt.
Cotto's definitely playing with fire. Like no, you know, you don't want to end your career on your back like that.
For
one
reason.
And you're fighting a guy like Lemieux. You're fighting at this weight class will threaten you ending your career on your back. He's talented enough to where he's actually better than Lemieux overall.
He is, of course.
But Lemieux has the kind of power. And naturally bigger than Cotto. Cotto's no middleweight, so
more fresh.
Of course, it's a risk fight.
Cotto's gonna go
out. It's a risk fight that Cotto can win, though. It's weird because it's a risk fight where Cotto can be knocked out on his back and then be the stereotypical great fighter that ended his career on his back, or Cotto can actually win this fight. It's a weird fight.
And Mikey made for a better fight.
I think Mikey's too small for him, bro. Yeah. I think Mikey's way too small for
Cotto. But Mikey called him out
at what weight?
154.
Mikey's nuts.
But he called him out.
Yeah, he's too small.
But Mikey's just—he's so confident, man.
Mikey's a good fighter, but he's too small for Cotto.
Yeah, he is too small.
I think so.
I don't like that fight. I don't like that fight.
But then again, I thought.
I think Cotto has a better chance of beating Lemieux than Mikey does of beating Cotto. I think you're jumping way too much, bro. Mikey was fighting at featherweight, bro.
I know.
I bet De La Hoya against Pacquiao back in the day.
Sort of nice.
Sort of the whole world.
Are you kidding me? Don't get me started on that. Let me tell you something.
De La Hoya thought he was going to come into that fight the way Floyd did with the mask. Yeah. All right, because Vernon Forrest, rest in peace, was like, all right, so can I get Juan Manuel Marquez after he gets back out?
Yeah, remember that?
Because everybody just assumed this was a gimme.
The steroids in boxing hadn't entered like that yet. Vernon, rest in peace. If only he could see boxing now where weight classes absolutely don't matter. At that time, that's how funny it was when someone like Vernon was like, this is a joke. Little does Vernon know, because Vernon passed away, that Marquez did come up to welterweight after that. Exactly. He did come up to welterweight after that. You know, because for Vernon, it was a joke. For Vernon, it was really a joke at the time.
Vernon landed the right hand on Marquez.
With the entrance of PEDs in boxing, all of a sudden, weight classes stopped mattering. If Vernon was only alive, having made those statements, if you could just resurrect Vernon from the dead 10 years later, he would be like, what the fuck is going on? What happened in this sport? You know? It's crazy, because it was a joke. I remember him saying that.
And
I forgot
Delahoya's
that he had
face
said that.
Was like,
sorry. It's crazy.
It's my show.
It's crazy.
We had a heavyweight fight as well this weekend, past weekend, a heavyweight title fight.
Oh, Joseph Parker, man, how can we forget? I heard that was a really good fight. I haven't seen it, man. Have you seen it yet?
Nope.
Huey Fury. Some people are saying Huey Fury should have got the decision. Is it possible this guy got robbed in England? I mean, do they do that?
I don't know.
Because the fight was in England, and Parker's from New Zealand, and Yuri Fury's from England. How would he be the one that got robbed, no? Because two judges had it 118-110, right? And one had it 114-114.
That's a big disparity.
I don't know. We got to watch this fight. Any of our fans are listening up on the podcast, you know, if you guys can tweet at us and let us know what you thought of that fight. You know, I've seen some mixed emotions and mixed reactions. We got to check it out ourselves. But let us know what you thought of that fight. If it was controversial, if it was good, if it was close. You know, like, we're hearing a lot of things about this fight. You know, congrats to Joseph Parker for another title defense. I actually have been off of Twitter for a week, if any of you haven't noticed. You know, I needed a Twitter break from the McGregor Nuthuggers. I needed a Twitter cleanse. Because I can't post something without some McGregor Nuthugger bringing up Connor. I can't post anything. I post something on my Instagram and Connor kicked your ass. I post something on Twitter. Oh, well, you're not talking about Connor? You know, I was like, all right, guys. The fuck off my dick already.
So you guys have a date yet to fight or no?
No, we don't have a date, but I've gotten... I can't discuss too much.
I can't discuss too much.
I'll tell you when we get off the air. My team is I've received a call from some higher ups on my team.
Do me a favor when you find out when you can talk about it. Make sure you talk to everybody else first before you come to our show and talk
about
it.
That what I do.
Save us last.
Yeah, talk to everybody else first.
I mean, listen, one thing about Connor, if I have to guess, I think he fights Nate Diaz next. But as far as he's never going to get another Mayweather fight, that kind of money is out off the table no matter who he's fighting.
That's a once in a lifetime
thing. But as far as making the next level of money down the totem pole, it's either me or Nate Diaz. So whether you're going to fight me first or Nate first then me, regardless, there's nobody else that comes up and brings the kind of money me and Nate are bringing, you know, to him. Yeah, but there's a lot of risk. Khabib is a big risk. Tony Ferguson is a big risk. You know, a lot of these other guys are big risks. So
just like boxing,
you're talking about financial reward to risk. There's a big discrepancy once you go past me and Nate. So it's, no matter what kind of McGregor nut hugging fans there are out there, you jerk offs. He's got to fight me regardless, you jerk offs. He's got to fight either me or Nate, because there's nothing, nobody outside of me and Nate Diaz bringing anywhere near the amount of money we're bringing. And we're not even bringing anywhere near Mayweather money, but the Mayweather funny money's off the table for sure. The next level down is me or Nate.
So you're saying that he can't knock out Canelo? If he hits him with a left uppercut.
That's such a stupid rumor. Like, yes, you want to see the guy talks about heads bouncing off the canvas. You want to see Conor's head bounce off the canvas?
Oh, my God.
If they make the Canelo fight, you'll see Conor's head bounce off the canvas. I'm not even kidding.
Bounce off the canvas.
Canelo will be dribbling him like a basketball, his head. You know, I'm not even kidding. Canelo plays soccer, so he'll actually soccer punt him after he knocks his ass up.
If you want to know what happens in that fight, just watch the James Kirkland Canelo fight. That's what will happen to Conor.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think that's a stupid rumor.
What was the rumor? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Canelo and Conor would fight, you know. Yeah, okay. If you talk about Canelo, you bring Canelo into the mix, yeah, that brings more money than me or Nate Diaz.
I'm joking.
I would be very surprised.
But it's a rumor, though.
It's a rumor. That people, I think, bring out there, because you're going to get the guy killed at a certain point. The guy still has an image to protect. He just got his ass whooped already. You can't get him knocked out.
Oh, no, he lasted 10 rounds with the best fighter of all time. What are you talking about?
Exactly. You can put a positive spin on that loss. You can't put a positive spin on him getting knocked out cold by Canelo, though.
Because if you pick him up with a spatula,
Canelo pursues a knockout. Floyd will take his time, whatever. Canelo will pursue
quickly,
taking your consciousness away from you really, really fast. So it's a different kind of fight. And if you don't know what you're doing with Floyd, you can still last a little bit because Floyd is a take his time, break you down kind of guy, as opposed to not knowing what you're doing with Canelo, where you're going to be dreaming. They're going to have to bring a pillow into the corner because you're going to need it within a couple minutes.
Come on, Floyd. What's Canelo going to do with those hammer fists? The fact that we were talking about it, we're giving it life, honestly.
You know, but regardless, the realistic fights for him, I think he probably fights Nate next, if I'm honest. But after that, I mean, I don't see him taking a huge pay cut to fight Khabib or Ferguson.
Well, why
or anything.
Do you say he's going to fight Nate next, not you?
Because I think the UFC is going to want to bring him back into the UFC. I think the UFC fans will, there'll be a demand to watch him. And I think the Nate Diaz fight is a fun fight to watch.
It is, but he squeaked away the second one at 170 again. That's a tough fight too.
Yeah, is it at 170 or 155? I don't think it's 155. The second fight was at 155. It was at 170.
Was it?
Sure. The second fight was at 55. No. The first fight was at 170. It was the last minute and Nate couldn't get his weight down. But I think the second fight was at 55, if I'm not mistaken, man. I think the second was at 55.
We got our stat checker.
I'll take a look at it.
Our stat checker.
I didn't think so.
Seth Nyman checking up on the stats, the statistics right now. We'll find out. Let us know.
Lightweight title fight would mean it was
a 155, because Conor doesn't have a 170 pound fight.
It wasn't a title fight.
It wasn't a title fight with Nate the second time, the rematch?
I think it was 170. I think he's right.
The first fight was at 70 with Nate, not the second one.
You sure?
I don't know. I'm asking you. Now you're making me doubt it.
I think they were both at 170.
I gotta look it up.
That's part of why I gave him so much credit for getting back in there, because he was going back up 170 again.
I don't know.
All right, we'll see.
You know, anybody at home, we're going to need you guys to look this up for us as well. So,
you can
correct us.
There's weigh-in info for Diaz McGregor.
Two.
Oh,
you have it. What is it?
I'm seeing 170.
170 for the second one. Okay. Yeah. So I was wrong. I stand corrected. 170. Okay.
I kind of know my stuff.
A little bit. Yeah, you do.
Yeah, but McGregor was 168 and Diaz came in 170.5.
For
the second fight.
Because Diaz can't get lower than that.
Yeah.
That's a
big dude, bro.
He's big.
I saw him after the Mayweather fight.
And I'm looking forward to, and I'm going to be there because it's at Barclays, is the Wilder-Ortiz fight.
Oh,
I can't wait for that. We're going to do the weigh-in show for that.
That's a nice one. We're going to do that November 4th. That's a big one. It's a nice one. And the week before, we have I'm going to Wales to work the Anthony Joshua versus Kubrat Pulev fight. I'm really excited about that fight, too, honestly, because Pulev always comes to fight. Regardless of what you think about him, Pulev
I don't comes care what anybody thinks. I'm a big Anthony Joshua fan, but
Pulev comes to fight, bro.
He's tough.
Yeah, bro.
And he's as big as Joshua. Wow. His head is bigger.
He's got a big square head, bro.
I'm telling you.
A week apart, two great heavyweight title fights.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that portion of the schedule.
Neither one's a gimme, right?
And I gotta obviously give a shout out to the October 14th show at Barclays Center, a big junior middleweight card. You know, for me, I've always said it's the best weight class in boxing, and we got a triple header. We got Arislandi Lara against Terrell Gashay, 2012 U.S. Olympian, finally stepping up to get a title shot. Lara, always a difficult guy to deal with, always a tough world champion. So much skill set. For me, my favorite fight on the card, though, is Jermell Charlo and Erickson Lubin. Oh. Lubin might be the best young fighter in boxing, prospect coming up the rise. And Jermell is one of the best young champions in boxing. You know, so it's really two guys still in their prime. About to do some amazing things in their career, regardless of this result. But it's going to be fun to watch these two guys get it on, you know. And the other fight, what's the other fight on the card? There's three fights on the card.
Austin Trout's fighting Hurd.
Austin Trout. How can I forget Jared that fight? Hurd, yeah, that's a nice one too. Trout always a rugged veteran with some nice skill set, and Hurd a sick uppercut, but at times he struggles. He's got a lot of skills, but at times he struggles.
That's a good fight.
He's still a guy on the rise and a guy who's learning. So I think that's an interesting fight, because I think it's the kind of fight where Trout could win it, or Trout could be knocked out cold even. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but and even getting knocked out cold, I think Jared can learn a lot from being in there with Trout.
It's the kind of fight that you want to look for when you're a champion. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the kind of fights you get, and you'll look to, if you come through those kind of tests, you become a better fighter. So some nice stuff going on the schedule. That's it, right? Is there anything on October 7th? Is there anything?
Taking a look right now, checking the schedule.
Maybe HBO has a fight. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Devin Alexander's still fighting, huh? He's fighting on Fox Sports.
Devin Alexander's younger than me. Why wouldn't he fight?
I don't know. I haven't seen him lately.
Who's he fighting?
Walter Castillo.
Oh, Walter Castillo. That guy fought Amir Imam. That guy was a tough kid. You know, Amir Imam knocked him out. That's a tough kid. What's the day on that?
It's Tuesday, October 3rd, 9 p.m.
I will not be here. I am leaving for the WBC convention this Saturday.
Is that PBC Toe-to-Toe Tuesday or something?
Yeah, because yes. I leave the 30th for the WBC convention.
Where's the WBC convention?
Azerbaijan. Baku, Azerbaijan.
God bless you.
Yeah,
I got to fly to the other side of the world, literally. So wish me luck on that one, guys. You know, I love traveling, but when it's that far.
This is a mistake, right? It says Deontay Wilder and Luis Ortiz on HBO. That is not true.
Yeah, that's a bit of a typo.
Website sucks.
That's Showtime.
Yeah, I know. I know Showtime. That's what I'm saying. What's wrong with these guys?
What about Dwayne Wade just signed with the Cavs? Are we out of our
minds? That's what I was pointing at before.
Off the bench, man. Yeah. He worked at a buyout deal with the Bulls.
What is going on in this world?
Our bets heads are falling off.
Yeah. What is everybody with creating these super teams, bro?
Dwayne Wade is old now, but he's doing the Ray Allen
when Ray went to Miami.
That's a fact.
Come on, bro. I know. He's doing the Robert Parrish, and Robert Parrish went to the Bulls. Remember Robert Parrish went to the Bulls?
Now you're going a little
John Sally went to the Bulls, too.
Yeah, but Ryan Sally was still playing. Robert Parrish, literally, I don't think he played a minute.
Sally
he
was either. On the Bulls.
That's like Shaq on the Celtics.
Yeah, but he didn't win anything. Robert Parrish won a ring.
Even on the Cavs,
Robert
too.
Parrish won a ring with the Bulls.
Did he?
Yeah.
I don't even remember him being on there.
Yeah. Because you didn't play, that's why.
Sally
didn't
do
play
it.
Either. He was on there too. He didn't play either, John Sally.
John Sally's from Brooklyn. Don't disrespect John Sally.
I didn't. I just
speaking
didn't
of
Sally.
John Sally's from Brooklyn. Sally, take it easy. On a sad note, John Sally somehow is related to Uncle Dre, Rozier, and his brother, rest in peace, Damon Rozier, passed away today. Andre Rozier,
we know him in the corner of Danny Jacobs.
Right, Uncle Dre.
In the corner of Saddam Ali.
He makes the Havoc outfits.
Didn't we see him
when
he
does
shows?
Make
them absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I call him Uncle Dre. We know him forever.
He makes the Havoc outfits when he does decide to bring out the sewing machine and actually get your outfit.
Paul,
he does,
remember when
does
you
it.
Made your chunks that fell?
Yeah. Heavy. I've had some issues, even though there have been some great, amazing outfits design-wise.
No, they're really nice. I love his style.
And locally, I mean, everybody knows who he is, obviously. Condolences
to Andre, man.
His brother who passed, if you went to the gloves all the time, you've seen him in a wheelchair. He was always with Dre. They look exactly alike. So condolences to the Rozier family. That's also Curtis Stevens' uncle. Mm-hmm.
Oh, is he? Andre's Curtis' uncle?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So that's it.
Yeah, Kara, you fighting? What's going on with you?
I'm not fighting. No, I'm just here to hang out with you guys.
Well, just punch
I would
me
like
in the face.
To fight again, but you know, what? Polly thinks I'm old because he thinks he's old.
What are you trying to say?
I'm a month older than him.
What are you trying to
he's
say?
He's always like, I'm too old. I mean, you're too old.
What well, are you trying?
Always,
what are you
always
trying
saying
to say?
You're old, so you're implying that I'm old. Actually, the girl Anna is.
Listen,
age.
I'm not getting the vibe of having this conversation on
so
here.
I don't consider my
Anna right
I'm not challenging Anna, but I don't think I'm old. I'm pretty young.
I'm old.
Can you?
What weight did you win the gloves at?
119.
Both times?
Can
you tell me and Carrie's the date?
Yeah. If me and Popoli fought at 119, right?
Yeah, I fought at 125 when I started boxing.
But 119 at one point, I think if we fought.
No. Never fought at 119.
125.
Maybe if I started boxing earlier, but I started boxing when I was 16, so. I was already 125.
You guys want to share any like private stories with us or anything? Like,
rather not.
Right. I'll tell you one.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I did. It was by accident, but I did dislocate Paulie's jaw.
Wow. Oh,
God. And it wasn't in an abusive way, but it was already messed up from the Kodo fight.
She was an abusive girlfriend. Yeah.
You slept with your sister? What'd you do?
It wasn't that bad. It was an accidental sleight of hand.
She accidentally hit you with a right cross in your
and
face?
He put it back on his face. He's like, ah, and he like clicked it back in and started chasing me. I ran for my life.
Yeah. You were trying to hurt
Yeah, when you get sucker punched, you're not clenching your jaw that way.
Ow.
So not many people can say they did that to him.
Yeah. That's impressive. Yeah. I'm gonna leave. That's going to be the title of this episode.
You guys suck.
Karen and I broke
Paulie's
jaw.
No, it actually came hanging off of his face.
Yeah, all right.
Off his face and he went like this. And he like you can't see, but he clicked it back into place.
Can you break Pete's jaw right now?
I don't know.
My jaw is strong, bro.
I know, he has a strong jaw.
He's got a lot of fat covering it.
Yeah, and I eat a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of exercise.
It's like padded up.
Yeah.
It's like a beard when they make you shave the beard.
Oh, God. That was so dumb.
Let me go get my McGregor headgear. I have another room.
Oh, the McGregor headgear got padding. That's some padding.
Yeah. Well, no, was like,
they like call a bitch bar when the bar comes across. You know, that's the bitch headgear.
That's what he had on when you spoke?
No, he had some kind of padding. The chin strap usually is not padded. This guy found some kind of headgear with a padded chin strap. The biggest bitch thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
All right, anyway.
Hammer fist. Okay.
All right, guys. I mean, no, we don't knock. There's no knockdowns and knockouts at 16-ounce gloves. I don't want to be that scared, but, you know.
He knocked you down.
I guess he was.
Yeah.
Oh, terrible. Guys, that was for any of McGregor and Harger, that was a sarcastic joke.
Yes.
We have an inside joke here where we all know that didn't happen.
Hey, if you want to have a knock, give us a shout.
Anyway, so we hope to come back next week. I'm in Azerbaijan, guys. So you guys are gonna have to pick up the slack without me. I'll be honest.
Okay,
I can sit in for you.
You can come in. You're more than welcome.
I'd be happy to.
Sure. Come on in.
What are you trying to say? You guys are trying to say she's better looking than me.
That's a fact, my little buddy.
Yes, true.
Anyway.
So all right, guys.
We'll be back next week. Oh, these guys, maybe they'll be back next week. I'll be back the week after. All right.
If I can follow
over and out from Brooklyn to the world. Later.